The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford is Tampa's first family of Ford, family owned for 61 plus years, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping there and get personal service and the Ira Kaufman discount from General Manager Sean Sullivan, the big boss, BillCurryFord.com.
You can't go wrong.
Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Big Storm Beer is Florida's best craft beer. Get to BigStormBrewery.com to find the beer near you and to see all the amazing Big Storm craft beers. BigStormBrewery.com. Taproom locations with amazing food and live music as well in Pasco County, off State Road 54, Clearwater on 49th Street, Orlando at the Amway Center, and Cape Coral.
Pizza's down to three times a week. Two slices instead of three. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I'm eating right. It's not hearsay. From a physical standpoint, I've made an adjustment. He's not getting it from Todd Bowles. Bowles can't say that. I mean, there's no reason the Bucks should not go 5-1 in the division. I didn't say 6-0.
Ira, what do you do if you have damage in your home from a disaster?
If you can even think at all that you might have an issue. Mold, fire, damage. Call Florida's Elite Restoration. That should be your first phone call. Florida's Elite Restoration.
Buccaneers fans, you can smell it, and it is not the body odor of the sage of Tampa Bay sports. Football is almost here. They've been cutting the grass at $1, and it is just wafting. The beautiful smells and sounds of football season are almost here. Ira, you are the sage of Tampa Bay sports. Of course, I'm just kidding. You always smell great. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper is not here today again. We miss Lee, but he'll be back. He's healthy. He is refreshing himself, and he'll tell us about that when he gets back. But Sage, you know what? I don't need to give all your nicknames. We know about those, and we know all the great companies that we support here on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. We drink Big Storm beer, and we love Bill Curry Ford and Florida's Elite Restoration. We'll hear about them later. Ira, this came to my mind, came to light while I was just in deep thought about all things football. And you know, I'm always looking for things that are sort of historic. A lot of them can't be looked up, right? A lot of these things we talk about when we say you projected, hey, this may be the first time ever, they're projects that you'd have to pay somebody or get a historian to really dive into all kinds of stats and history to figure out. And sometimes we do that once in a while. Lee and I have actually invested in someone helping us to do that, or we'll do it ourselves. But a lot of them are just, we just have to speculate or say that, hey, this may be the first time in NFL history. And I got one for you, Sage. Are you ready for it?
I love the nugget, Steve. I love it.
All right. Well, first, are you feeling okay, Ira? Things are good. You think you're going to be able to handle training camp? Are you going to go with full sun like you usually do, or with your hat and the white towel around your neck? What's the look for the Sage this year?
I think I'm breaking out a safari hat. A little safari hat to go with my Bill Curry cap. I got the shades and the white towel across the neck, Steve. I think that's a good look for me.
It is a trademark. The Sage basically wraps his neck in a white towel and tucks it into his shirt. So it's not like some sort of scarf. It's not something that you can go up and sort of strangle him if you were mad at his columns. But it's like wrapped around and tucked into the shirt. Ira, when did you start this non-fashion trend?
I think that was in Borough Park in Brooklyn in 1968 after a rough game of basketball. I've stopped traffic with that, Steve. I got to tell you, it's a remarkable image. One time I was standing by where the offensive linemen were working out. I think it was last summer. And during a drill, Ryan Jensen happened to turn his head and see me. He stopped doing the drill, Steve, and some guy pulverized him, knocked him head over tea kettle. When he got up, he said, hey, I wasn't ready. I was looking at this clown with the towel in the, around his neck. So, Steve, I've been known as to be a hindrance in training camp. I can be a problem.
Yeah, it is a look that somehow nobody has tried to emulate, Ira, but maybe maybe this is the year. You know, when we had Zach, the man-beast intern, we should have told him he has to go through one full practice with the Sage towel. Ira, last question on that. If Tom Brady told you to shove that down your ass with baby powder, would you do it?
If I can get him on this podcast, by all means. By all means.
All right, Sage, look, here's the nugget. Right now, the NFC South, the coaches, head coaches in the NFC South, the combined record is 51 and 102. 51 and 102. Not one of them has playoff head coaching experience. Now, I'm going to throw it out there, Ira, and say there may never have been a division with a record, a combined coaching record of 33%, 51 out of 102, and not one coach that made the playoffs. And obviously, most divisions, right, they all had a division winner from the previous year. So 90% of the time, they've got a returning coach with playoff experience. So this division now, the NFC South, now has a horrible head coaching history and nobody with a lick of a head coaching playoff experience. You think that could be a first, Ira?
That's a hell of a nugget, Steve. Yeah, let's look at them in order. Matt Rhule now leads the Vegas predictions for the lowest odds on the first coach to get fired in 2022. Steve, he may not get out of October. I believe they have a fairly soft early schedule. Suppose he stumbles, you know, to a 1-3, 1-4 start. Tepper could pull the plug right then and there on Matt Rhule, hanging by a thread. We don't know the quarterback situation. Atlanta, Steve, I would claim, arguably has the worst roster in the National Football League. They ain't got much, Steve. They ain't got much. Kyle Pitts is going to be a good player. He already is. Grady Jarrett's a nice defensive tackle. They got a nice cornerback named Terrell, but they ain't got much. They just don't. And New Orleans, Dennis Allen, second time around as a head coach. And the Saints have some decent talent, especially if Michael Thomas comes back, you know, and Kamara doesn't get suspended. They got some players. And Winston looks like he's well on his way to a full recovery. So, and we know they got a defense. So, you know, I'm not ready to close the book on Dennis Allen. You know, second time around, I think he's going to be better. I think he's got a team that can contend for a wild card spot. I don't see him beating out the Bucs atop the division. But that's a hell of a nugget, Steve. Now, Steve, I can answer with this. You've got Todd Bowles. And his 4 years in New York were not successful, Steve. So you got to throw that in there.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he's in there. He's the only coach that's had a winning season of those four. And I'm just saying that when you look at the collection, that may be the worst on paper in history in the NFL for a division, which I wonder, Ira, now I know I'm stretching it here, but hey, it's July and you got to think a little more beyond the normal scope. Do you think when Sean Payton hung it up, do you think part of that was a small trigger, just a small one, maybe planting a seed in Bruce Arians' head, saying, hey, you know what? This may be the best time ever to hand it over to Bowles. Look at who he's coaching against.
You know, there's so many factors, Steve, so many factors. The biggest factor, and I tend to believe Arians on this, was Brady, you know, reversing his retirement. I think Arians was going to stick it out with Gabbert, Trask, or whoever they were going to bring in. I believe Arians would have stuck it out. And, you know, I think the fact that Brady's there and gives, you know, Bowles a more than fighting chance to put in a very good season on Bowles' resume, and God knows Bowles needs that. He does. I think that was the biggest factor. I want to say one more thing about the Falcons, Steve.
Me too, Ira. Me too. You want to go first or can I go first?
I'm going to go first. And I think this is going to be the saving grace for Arthur Smith. I think Arthur Blank, say what you will about him, but I think he's a realist. And so is Rich McKay. Even though when I talk to McKay, he says, we're good. We're right there. We're going to be contender. Always tells me that, no matter what's going on. It could be 3-8. Play here, play there, Steve. You know how he is. But just talking to Arthur Smith in March in Palm Beach, it's clear that he's already looking at 2023. And I think Blank is too. And Steve, I think the worst thing that can happen, you'd never hear this from Smith or Blank. The worst thing that can happen, Steve, is for them to go 7-10, fall a couple of games short of a playoff berth, and all of a sudden they're drafting 13th or 14th and instead of going, you know, 3-14. I mean, those are the facts. And I think it's a good quarterback class. coming out as opposed to this year's class. And I think that's a big factor for the Falcons. Where are they going to finish? Where are they going to draft? Can they get a shot at one of these maybe two or three potential game franchise changers? So that's my point about the Falcons. I think they're realistic, and I don't think there's a real feel in the organization that they're going to do much this year.
I understand, Ira, but one thing that gets overlooked with the Falcons is their number 8 overall pick, Drake London, wide receiver out of USC. I think a lot of that comes because he played in California and not a big name for us locals here in the Southeast, and he's easily glossed over. Oh, they got no receivers. Well, he's the number 8 overall pick.
Right.
And if, he walks in there and has a, despite playing with subpar quarterbacks, if he walks in there like Mike Evans did, playing with subpar quarterbacks and still finding 1,000 yards, you know, it's going to change a lot there. And part of me thinks that Arthur Smith, yeah, he gave Marcus Mariota the job because he knew him and they thought he could hit the ground running within the offense that he had played in. I don't know. I'm not sure you do that if you're really kind of tanking, although Mariota's good to lose some games, but I don't know. They've got some talent, and if the rookie top pick can play, things could get a little bit interesting, and they got better on their offensive line. So, we'll see.
We'll see. They're a little short in the trenches, Steve, in my opinion.
Yep.
They are. But this London guy, Steve, he's interesting. I think he got drafted a little higher than I thought he would. He got drafted in front of Olave. And I think a lot of people thought Olave would be drafted higher. Steve, he sounds like a guy that's a big, rangy guy.
Yep.
I'm talking, a lot of, like out of the Mike Williams, not the old Buck Mike Williams, the guy on the Chargers, who, by the way, had a very good season last year, Mike Williams. That guy's getting better and better. Of course, he's got Herbert throwing to him, and Keenan Allen's a good player opposite him. Sort of out of that Mike Williams, maybe even Keyshawn Johnson, same college. Big, rangy guy, good hands, good red zone target. You might be right, Thief. He might have a good season, but I don't know if Mariota's got the arm to get him the ball downfield. That could be an issue.
Florida's Elite Restoration, this is the time of year, storm season, all kinds of stuff going on. And if you get fire, mold, flood, storm damage, whatever it might be, your first phone call, after you call 911, if that's what it takes, you got to call Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration, they are the premier restoration company after you've had a disaster in the Tampa Bay area. Call them up 24/7. They'll get out to your house. They'll break out all of their A-list high-tech equipment, thermal imaging cameras. They'll figure out what's going on, where the leaks are coming from, where the mold is growing, whatever it is that's going on, and they'll give you a full assessment. And if you go ahead with their service and you let them know you're from Joe Buck's fan or you listen to the Ira Kaufman podcast, they're going to give you $500 back. And maybe that's money that you use toward your insurance deductible, or just cash off the order that you place with them to repair something or to restore a room. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Ira, I know you don't call anybody else. It's on your refrigerator. You've told your friends. You know people that have used them. Florida's Elite Restoration. They are fully endorsed by the Sage.
Josh runs a tight ship over there, Steve. He's got a heck of a crew. They're honest. You got heat, humidity. Now you add water. It can cause all kinds of problems. If you can even think at all that you might have an issue, mold, fire, damage, call Florida's Elite Restoration. That should be your first phone call, Florida's Elite Restoration.
All right. So, Ira, look, I just wanted to put that out there in part because it was so unique, but the down division as it relates to coaching, do you think that adds to the pressure on Todd Bowles? Fans may not be thinking about it, but once we get deeper into the season and if the Bucks aren't, sizzling, people might say, hey, who's Bowles coaching against here? Why is Arthur Smith 5-5 and the Bucks are 5-5? What the heck's going on? You can't make an excuse for Bowles that he's still coaching against Sean Payton, Ron Rivera, and other coaches that have been through.
I think that's absolutely right, Steve. I mean, there's no reason the Bucks should not go 5-1 in the division. I didn't say 6-0. I didn't say 6-0. That's a big ask. 5-1 is reasonable. 4-2 to me is the minimum. You want to lose twice to the Saints? Go ahead, but don't you dare lose to the Falcons, and you shouldn't lose to the Panthers. So to me, 4-2 minimum. Steve, good point. You know, if the Bucks are like 5-5 after 10 games, it's middle of the pack. In this division, it's not like you're in the AFC West. And if you're the Raiders and you're 5-5, you say, hey, I'm beating my head against the wall. I got to play Herbert. And, you know, and I got to play Mahomes every other freaking week. You know, it's brutal. Bulls can't say that. So, yeah, Steve, that's all a big factor. As long as Brady's healthy, Bulls won't have any excuses, Steve.
Yeah, you got to go 5-1 in the division, Ira. If the goal is 13-4 to try to get that top seed again, you got to go 5-1 in the division. I think that's mandatory. Because if you go 4-2 in the division, how are you going to not lose three games outside the division where the schedule is much tougher? So I got to go 5-1 in the division. Critical, critical. And there may be nothing more critical, as crazy as it sounds. And it's fun to throw these, you know, these big, big things out there. But I think there may be nothing more critical than that week two game against the Saints. Got to break that hex, got to kill their confidence, and got to get out of there with a win. It's going to be a good time to get them, probably without Kamara, probably without Jameis, feeling 100% confident on his knee. You know, maybe even a little sore, little who knows what after his first game on it. I just think that's just the perfect setup for the Bucks to get out of there with a win and set the tone in the division and critical stuff there, Sage. All right, look.
And Michael Thomas might not be 100% early in the season. You're right, Steve.
It's a great time to get them, and they gotta figure out the Saints. If they don't figure out the Saints in week two, oh boy. I mean, we and Bucks fans are going to be just pulling our hair out. You know, I don't have much left to pull, but you know how it goes, Ira.
Steve, the facts are the facts. They're 4-0 against Brady in the regular season. I mean, it's a fact.
Yeah, it can't continue. It can't happen. Ira, also another thing that can't happen is people shopping outside of Bill Curry Ford if they want a truck or a used vehicle, nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Sean Sullivan, the GM, is giving you a $500 gift card just to order a vehicle. Just to order a vehicle. No deposit required. Check it all out. There's an ad at joebucksfan.com or billcurryford.com. Get their concierge custom order service and benefits for a vehicle, no deposit. And you know, if something goes wrong, Sean's got plenty of people lined up who want vehicles. There's a little bit of a shortage out there, to say the least. So get it done. BillCurryFord.com. Ira, you met with Derek Brooks. You've mentioned that on the last podcast. You guys had a private chat. Brooks has done a couple of other interviews. And one thing that I just am very excited about is Brooks is talking. He's talking like Lavonte David is 100% healthy and ready to go to start the season, at least. And Brooks is expecting that to make a big difference for Devin White. And just that he seems to think David is poised for greatness. You know, I know Brooks is not biased against older linebackers. He certainly had very strong seasons at David's age. And David's entering now his 11th year, as hard as that is to believe. But what was your takeaway there?
A couple of things, Steve. You could argue that the way Brooks talks about Lavonte David, and of course, you know, linebacker, same position that Brooks played so spectacularly. You might argue that in Brooks's mind, he's the most indispensable Buck defensive player. I would argue Shaq Barrett, all things being equal, because you can't get around you know, the pass rush factor. And without Shaq Barrett, let's face it, Steve, they don't have a lot of proven pass rushers, very few. But he does talk up Lavonte David's intangibles, what he means to Devin White when David's on the field, as opposed to the way White plays when David is on the sidelines. Steve, the key point about Derek Brooks talking about the relative health of Lavonte David is it's not hearsay. He's not getting it from Todd Bowles.
Yep.
What Bowles thinks of, you know, how Lavonte David, he's getting it from Lavonte David. And here's something that I didn't have room to put in the column, Steve, but amplifying.
Wait a minute. You didn't have room. What does that mean? It's the internet, Ira.
Well, I know, Steve, but I want you to zip through it and it feels fresh and not like it's a slog. So maybe I save it for the next one.
All right, that's fine. I don't want people to think that you're not working autonomously, Ira. You can do whatever you want, that you don't have a room restriction.
Right. You're right. But, Steve, he talked about in terms of David being 32. And, of course, Brooks never missed a game in his 14-year NFL career. He never missed a game, Steve. Not one. Doesn't mean he wasn't hurt. But like Rondé Barber, he played through it. Just one of the many reasons why Brooks has a bust in Canton. Incredible durability. So, Steve, he was talking about when you get older. He didn't give a specific age. He's probably thinking about the age of 30. I think Brooks played till 34. And, of course, he still wanted to play. And the Bucks released him. And he never played again. So, Steve, Brooks talked about how you have to change your regimen as an older player. Whether it's your diet, getting more rest, the kind of workouts you do. You have to adjust as you get older. And he said, and Lavonte David is doing that. He didn't say he's always done that. So I think Brooks has been very instructive to Lavonte David in terms of making, I wouldn't say concessions, Steve. I would say adjustments to as you get into your 30s, if you want to continue to play at a high level, which Brooks did. And by the way, Steve, let's be honest. At the end of that 08 season, that December collapse, Brooks was about playing at about 40%. And if Lavonte David was playing at 60%, Steve, last year in the postseason, Brooks was a shell of himself. I think he had a hamstring or whatever it was. Steve, you remember it very well, especially that last game against the Raiders. Brooks probably shouldn't have been on the field, but it's Brooks. So I'll take a 40% Brooks, but you know, he got worn down and, you know, and David's got getting worn down. Didn't play the last three regular season games. Came back for the playoffs. Wasn't healthy. And I love the fact that Brooks is not only talking to David, but advising David. Before you chime in, Stevie, one more thing I want to say about Brooks that I think Buck fans need to know. And I'm very appreciative of this facet of Derek Brooks. Steve, since Brooks got in the Hall of Fame, he has worked with me hand in hand to try to get Tony Dungy, to try to get John Lynch, and now to try to get Rondé Barber, a bust in Canton. He's very sincere about it. He's very driven about it. And I'll give you an example. Derek Brooks makes calls. I don't even ask him to, but he makes calls. He's talked to voters. He knows who the voters are. He's called some of them. And he's made the case for Lynch, for Barber. And Steve, one more thing. And I think it was a factor last year when Barber made a lot of progress. I asked him for the phone number for Chris Carter. I said, I want to talk to Chris Carter about Rondé Barber. I want to talk to guys who went up against Rondé Barber. Chris Carter's one of them. Especially, Steve, when the Bucks and the Vikings were in the same division. You remember that before 2002, realignment. Used to play twice a year. Not only did Brooks give me the number for Chris Carter, Steve, but he called Chris Carter ahead of time, told him what I would be asking him about, what facet of Barber's Hall of Fame candidacy I was interested to get from Carter, and he tipped him off. And so when I called Carter, and he anticipated the phone call, he was great. And what Carter said and wanted to talk about was this nonsense about being a system player. Carter was very direct about it and said, you know, hey, whether you're talking about Joe Montana, Rondé Barber, J.J. Watt, whatever you want to talk about, they all play within a certain system that's built to accentuate their strengths. And Steve, the last thing he said, and I used it in my presentation. I think I saved it right for the end. If you want to talk about players that didn't need a system to thrive, you'd have about four guys in the Hall of Fame.
Sure, I got you.
And so anyway, I just think Buck fans need to know how involved Brooks is, and I'm very appreciative of it.
No, I know you are, Ira, but I also want fans to realize that other players, potential Hall of Famers, have the same situation going on in their cities. So it's not like it's not like you necessarily have some advantage that you're not capitalizing on. It's just, it's part of the deal, but you're very grateful for the work Brooks does. We don't know if it's more or less than what other players are getting, but it's strong and he's there for you as a resource. And I know you've been able to use it. So hopefully this is the year, Ira, but you know, a lot of that's political and, know, we can talk more about that as it gets closer.
And Steve, Brooks has the stature. Brooks has the stature. When he calls you, you know it's heartfelt.
Yeah. So he's going to get a call back. You know, it is heartfelt. That's fantastic, too. And he's not going to be throwing a bunch of hyperbole, sales pitches out there for sure. Because, frankly, he believes that Barber is a Hall of Famer. He's not doing a sales job or a con job. He believes it's there and he can articulate why. But let me get back to Levante David. So what you're saying is your takeaway, Brooks believes that he's making serious changes, significant changes.
Yes.
To his training regimen, and that he's healthy enough to do it, and he's expecting big things. Is that a simple summary there?
It is. Not just the training regimen, Steve, but some other things that I mentioned about diet
right.
And rest. Yeah. And I love the fact that Brooks has given him the benefit of his experience, and Levante David's smart enough to take the advice.
Now, one thing I would say, Ira, and it's just me being a little cynical, I can't just bow to Derek Brooks here. I would say Brooks should be telling Levante David, hey, I'm telling you this, but get on the phone to Tom Brady and say, what should I be doing? Because Tom Brady is the one with the secret to the longevity sauce in the NFL. Now, granted, he doesn't get hit like Derek Brooks did. And you could argue that Brooks' 14 years not missing a game is more impressive than Brady's 23 years. So I get that. But I hope somewhere in there he's saying, hey, get with Brady and take what I've given you. But lean on Tom. Use that resource.
As Steve, as an overview, I think what you said makes sense. But as you also said, Brooks plays Levante David's specific position, different muscles being used in different ways. So it's not as specific to Brady as it might be to Brooks. But you're right. You can't go wrong by trying to tap into Brady's fountain of youth. Can't go wrong.
I got to ask you, you know what? I've got some other Bucks things to talk about. We'll hit those, and some of them are going to clarify a little more in the coming days. I will throw out there, and Lee can talk a little bit more about it because he was the one doing the digging. We do have some great insight that Russell Gage will be ready to go day one of training camp. Now, does that mean he may not still be getting some rehab on something? That's unclear, but he's ready, and he's been ready enough to work with Tom Brady in these last 6 weeks or so leading up to training camp. So that's fantastic news that we can say with great, great confidence. And so I'm excited about that. Ira, I'll go out on this though, because some people want to know, and you are the sage. It is July. You talked about adjustments, Brooks late in his career and Levante David doing that. I got to ask you, Ira, as you almost begin your seventh year at JoeBucksFan.com, entering your seventh season when we turn the clock in a couple of weeks, how are you pulling off your greatness at your advanced age, Ira? How have you made adjustments to your game?
I'm eating right, Steve. I'm eating right. pizza's down to three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, two slices instead of three. I clipped off the pepperoni. But Steve, to be serious, I try to pace myself, Steve. I'll start with the tennis court. I'm playing in July. It's all doubles. And even though I'm not out of breath, Steve, I don't have any shortness of breath. I don't have any heart problems. Thank God. I don't stay out there, Steve, longer than an hour, hour and a half, play a couple of sets, and I leave. Once it gets to be 10:30, 11 o'clock, here comes the sun. So in that respect, from a physical standpoint, I've made an adjustment. And from a Joe Bucks fan standpoint, I've cut back a little, Steve. Training camp, don't go every day, maybe every other day. I lean on you and Lee to be my eyes and ears out there. So I'm going to be 68 next month, and I expect a nice little birthday present from you boys. Maybe even a lunch, Steve. Maybe even a lunch at Big Storm. You never know. But you got to adjust to your old age. And Brooks is in my ear. Brooks is in my ear. You're not 35 anymore, Kaufman. You're not 35. But, Steve, just because there's a little snow on the chimney, don't be fueled. Don't be fooled. There's still a lot going on in the furnace. let's not go anymore after that.
All right, Ira. Look, I know that nowadays when you buy Whoppers, you throw a few out on the ground and you cut back a little bit. You don't eat the whole box. All right. I just think you doing a little verbal gaffe there after you said no more fuel and whatever you said, classic.